Welcome to the podcast.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Combiner Effect episode 4.
We made it to 4.
We made it to 4. Woo. Cheers with water.
Cheers this with water. This is
not alcohol.
We would decide to cut out the whiskey, man.
Water, yeah. That's,
why?
It's not good for my health.
Yeah.
Don't do it because of me, guys.
No.
It was my cousin's wedding a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't really like binge drink like that, pretty much ever. But for like weddings or friends and family, I'll do that. But yeah, that took me out for like 4 days. I could do things, but like I couldn't exercise, couldn't work out, man. Just like dizzy, you know what I'm saying? Like not feeling good.
Let me ask you this. Do you mix?
I do.
I think that's probably another
thing. I just
go
off. But like if it's like a special occasion, like I don't care.
Like, here's a shot.
I just feel like
someone just brings you a drink and you're like, it just goes down the hatch.
It was one of those weddings where, you know, some weddings have a preset menu of alcohol, like these are the two drinks or whatever. Mm-hmm.
His
get.
And hers type of shit.
Exactly. Yeah. But it was you know, just a full open bar. They make anything you want, shots. So in my mind I was like, yeah, I gotta take advantage, you know what I'm saying? So
weddings are fun, man.
It was fun. Like the night itself is never not fun. Yeah. Like, I'm not the type where I think some people get like pre-hungover almost. Like the night of, they start feeling bad.
Yes.
But for me, I feel great. But it's just the day after, and well, now it's like 3 days after. It's just like
it's painful. Like last weekend for you?
This was 2 weekends ago.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So I was. I was busy recovering for those few days, and I always regret it.
Okay.
To be honest.
Okay.
So like, you know, I don't drink for a long time. And then by the time, like I forget like months later, I'm like, oh yeah, let's go off again.
Yeah.
And that cycle resets.
You know, what's funny is I've been reading a lot of articles about how sobriety is like a new fad, and if you will, cause there's so many in our last episode we did, we had to cut that one, but I brought Budweiser Zero, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of non-alcoholic drinks that are out there now that people are, even like whiskey, gin, like non-alcoholic.
It's like zero proof, like hard liquor. Yeah.
And I think that's really cool, but you know, like, it's just been a thing that I've been noticing that a lot of people have been, you know, on that non-alcoholic wave, if you will.
You know?
So I don't know if you guys have noticed that too.
I think that's true. I feel like maybe it's more popular for celebrities too. Like, I don't know if you guys know Tom Holland, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But like, he's been on a lot of podcasts saying how, you know, he realized he was alcoholic. So he cut it off for like dry January. And then he like just carried over month to month, and how he just felt so much better.
Mm.
But yeah, out of any fad, I feel like that's a pretty good one for people to hop on.
Cool, man.
I've had a lot of friends approach me saying they're having a dry January or whatever. More than normal, actually, now that you say it.
Yeah. Isn't that we're getting older?
That's got to be a factor.
You think so?
But I think the general population, like, listen, I think fads are followed by guys and gals younger than us. So they're following what the 20-year-olds are doing. And I'm hearing the 20-year-olds, they're not binge drinking and going out and clubbing. And that's just not the life. They have house parties. Now maybe. They have like, for example, I was talking to my wife about gambling. Like, Vegas is struggling
because
they don't like to gamble, but you know what they like to do? They like to do the claw machines.
Oh yeah, I've seen this.
That's straight gambling, dog.
It is gambling.
Bro, that's gambling.
It's 100% gambling. It's a slot
machine.
There's
skills.
It's a slot machine.
Yeah. There's like a formula or algorithm to it, you know what I mean? Like,
correct.
However many what do you call it? Credits, you know, in order for that claw to like stick.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still strategy, but I heard they're more into that stuff. That's like claw machine.
Maybe like it's more of a game to them.
Yeah.
Like it's not just about the money.
Like
you get the little toy or whatever.
Yeah.
Which I guess is the same as getting money at a table, but
no, it's not.
You get something to walk away with.
I got you. But no, speaking of gambling, like I've been thinking about doing like poker night. I think poker is really cool still.
Yeah.
Like we do a Texas Hold'em at Secret Santa during Christmas time, and everyone loved it, you know?
Wait, hold on.
It's fun.
Hold on. Secret Santa Texas Hold'em. So winner gets what? No.
It was just during that time.
Me
and my wife's cousins, trip planning.
I thought you combined Secret Santa or something. Like gift giving to Texas Hold'em.
No,
that's a great idea. Oh, just kidding.
It could be. I don't know. There's something there probably, but
spice it up, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it was just we were gone for 3 days in an Airbnb, like a big ass Airbnb. We all all up in there and for a day we just $20 sounds worth.
Fun. Yeah.
It was fun. Yeah. It's cool.
It's enough money where it feels fun to win and it feels a little painful to lose. You're like, oh.
Well,
I'd like to have that $20 back.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there were some people that were very new to it. So they got into it. So we had buy-ins, rebuys.
Yeah.
And
do you limit the rebuys? Or do you allow people just keep saying, ah?
I mean, I don't know. It's like this, right? Like, it depends on when you want it to end. You know
what
I mean?
That's true.
Do you want energy
just leaves?
Yeah. All right, are we done now? You know, because we're there with the rest of the family too. It's not just boys, you know?
Yeah.
But if you guys are down, I would love to do a poker night. It would just,
of course.
I'm ass at poker, but I love poker.
I just love playing poker. Yeah. That's that old school gambling, man. It's just, once you know how to work the cards and just play with the strategy, whatever your strategy is. I think it could be fun.
Do you think there's a difference between gambling with in a safe place with your friends and family versus going to the casino?
100%. I don't like gambling with casinos.
Like strangers.
Yeah. I mean, blackjack maybe.
Sure.
But definitely at home with the homies, grab a beer. We're just sitting and talking shit. That's true. Yeah.
And I guess it's money that goes between the friends. It kind of switches hands anyways.
Yeah.
And you get each other dinner or something.
No, I don't want my friends to have my money. But
it's just shit talking, you know? I just took you a big pot. What's up? You know? That type of shit.
It's kind
of
like golf sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
What
that's true.
You know what I mean? Am I hurt? A little bit, but it's fun.
It's just fun.
It's my boys.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
It's not happy. Degenerate type of gambling where you're I have to get my 10,000 back or something.
If you have Reebok, and it gets out of hand. It can become degenerate.
That's true. That's just good for the person who's winning. You know what I'm saying? More money for them.
Yeah, that was me. So watch out.
But yeah, how's your guys' weeks? Or not weeks, just how you've been in general in the past few weeks?
That's a loaded question, bro.
You can go whatever way you want.
Yeah, we could.
How's your trip planning going to Disneyland?
It's great.
Okay. It is.
You let go, right?
I let go.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm happy, and my cousins feel they know. We're all on the same page. So
that's good to hear.
We're there for the kids. Yeah, that's all that matters. And I just decided not to overthink it and understand that the purpose is just for all of our kids to have fun. They're not going to be that age for long.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just whatever, dude. It's cool.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, we do everything ourselves as far as shooting this podcast, editing this podcast. I don't know how many times I've heard John's story about going to Disneyland as well because I'm the one editing as, naturally being the producer. I've heard this story so many times. That's why I was jokingly asking. I'm glad it's going well.
It's fine.
You know, but I wish nothing but the best and fun time with your whole family.
Yeah.
But I just I've heard it so many times. Now, it's funny, dude.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
Caught in the Matrix.
Yeah.
No, Disneyland, definitely no more Disneyland woes or drama.
How about otherwise, besides vacation planning?
I have my last, this is something big. So this week I have my last back appointment.
How's it feeling?
I was honest with my chiropractor. So long story short is I've been fighting for over a year, just sciatica and back pains, lower back pains from a disc herniation and spinal stenosis. So it's just hereditary. And quite frankly, I was going for a deadlift PR. I was feeling good that day. I still remember it. And I went for the deadlift and I immediately felt a pain. Yeesh. So that was a year. Over a year ago. It was last year.
It was before we reconnected, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So got an MRI, and sure enough, straight up herniation. Like my disc was bulging out and pinching on my nerve, right? Ouch. That's what causes the nerve and numbness and sensation. So just, you know, dealing with that every day. So then I'm like researching and all that, and I find a chiropractor who specializes in something called spinal decompression therapy. Mm-hmm. So imagine like you know, they put you on this table and they stretch you out, mm-hmm, in hopes to stretch out your,
that bulge.
Yeah. They're stretching out your spine so that your disc, your bulge could maybe come back in. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so he was explaining to me, like, you got to do that over and over again. And then if we could just simply get that to move like 2-3 millimeters, that's all we need, dude. We just need a little bit to get off that pressure. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So anyway, so the program was an 8-week program.
Yeah.
I had to go there, you know, 3-4 times a week. Mm-hmm. It's a commitment. And let me tell you, he's not local. He's a little far.
Hello, yeah, bro.
There was one day, there was an accident on that Sunol area.
Oh, no.
And my Google Maps was saying it would take me 2.5 hours.
Mm. Oh, my God.
Dude, I called him. I was like, Doc, I can't come. I'm sorry. So yeah, it is what it is. So it was a lot of time.
Yeah.
Commitment. It was a lot of money commitment. Mm-hmm. And I learned so much through this experience. But let me say this. And I also learned, like, when you go through medical issues, like, it's so easy to put all the, like, pressure on the medical professional to fix you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, they're the magic pill. Like, you need to figure really it out that, and then, like, yeah, cure me, you know?
Yeah.
The reality is it doesn't work that way. And, mm-hmm, and so I had to first set the proper expectations, you know, and say, okay, I first need to find a doctor that understands me, mm-hmm, that will take the time to understand me, that isn't looking at me like just money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just wants to make money doing a surgery on me or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he wants to really help me and figure it out. Mm-hmm. So I really felt that about him. Mm-hmm. So I walk into the office, and then his whole team from the front desk to the specialist to everyone I met, just great people, genuine, caring people. And they, so hats off to them. It's a, you know, great practice. But at the end of the day, after 8 weeks, you know, I got to be honest. No, I thought I was going to feel a lot better than I did. If you want to put a percentage, I would say I feel like 30-40% better.
Okay.
That's just pretty good.
It's pretty good. But my gut tells me, like, for the money and the time invested, I was like, bro.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a gap. You know what I mean?
Do you feel like you're talking about how personally you connect with him, and it's a doctor that, you know, kind of understands your struggle, what you're going through, kind of setting some expectations.
Yep.
Given all of that and the results that you have, what do you feel, disappointed or like what are your feelings about the experience as a whole?
Yeah, great. So it was hard not to feel disappointed, but mm-hmm, I was. But I also felt fortunate that my paths crossed with him and his staff. Because I believe in it's about, maybe this is the recruiter in me, but I appreciate the relationship first and foremost.
Yeah,
because as long as you have that, you could figure things out over time, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe my pass might cross again with him one
day.
Yeah. You never know. You know what I mean? That's what I believe in.
Yeah.
But actually, so I go to him, and we did a report card. He said, okay, how do you feel?
Yeah.
Right. So I wrote down
it. After the procedure.
The last day was just come in. Let's talk about how the 8 weeks went.
Okay.
So that was this past week.
Got it.
Right. And so I went over there, talked to him, and, you know, he looked at, you know, all the notes and everything. He's like, man, dude, like, I could tell he's trying to figure it out. He's like, where did we go wrong? Now, I will tell you, before Thanksgiving last year, it was going well.
Okay.
And then something's happened.
Okay.
Maybe it was the weight he was pulling, the angle. The thing is, the back is really complex. So there's no one size fit all. So he's trying different things, like pulling at different angles and all that good stuff, right? And so anyways, he's like, man, something went wrong, but you were showing progress. I said, yeah, because prior Thanksgiving, I remember going to the local mall, and I was like, man, I actually could walk for 30 minutes with no pain. Mm-hmm. Bro, for a year,
yeah,
10 minutes in, just jeez, soreness, numbness, sciatic pain.
Wow.
Like clockwork every day. I can't even walk, right? Yeah. So anytime I get out of the house, I'm so conditioned to grab my Advil, mm-hmm, pop two pills, 400 milligrams.
Yeah.
To survive.
Yeah.
Just to walk.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about play ball. You know what I mean? Run. Just
normal.
Just normal anywhere. Stuff. Like, yeah. Initially, I went to him. I was so like, okay, I'm going to go through this decompression. I'm going to play ball again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm going to do that. Now, I just want to walk. Yeah. I just want to walk and play at the playground with my daughter. Mm-hmm. That's all I care about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ball and running. We'll see.
Yeah.
So we're going through this.
Mm. Wow.
And I said, Doc, I just want to let you know, like, love that I met you. I think you're the right guy to fix me. Okay. Mm. I genuinely feel you care. I really do, from you and all your staff.
Yeah.
And that's a very different experience I've had with other chiropractors. Really, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, have you been to a medical professional where you're like, dude, you don't even care. Like, you're just going through the motion here.
I met both sides. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so he said, no, I agree with you. I was like, okay. Well, because normally, from my experience, medical doctors will try to convince you, like, are you sure you don't feel 60, 70% better or this? And I just try to push it on you.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was like, no, I actually, looking at this and how you feel, I do believe. Like, I agree with you. I was like, okay. Mm. And he said, listen, you spent a lot of time and energy already with me.
Yeah.
And so to ask you to spend more money and energy is going to be a tall order.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I'm thinking in my head, oh, here we go. Here we go. He's going to upsell me, you know, on a discount. You know, you should still come back.
Wait, were you feeling like, oh, like, shit, like I'm about, he's trying to get me?
I think so. At that moment, just being raw, that's how I felt.
Okay.
And then he said, Jonathan, just give me another opportunity. I know I could fix you. I've done 34,000 of these. Mm-hmm. Okay. Your case is not one of those cases where I'm like, we tried. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I can't help you.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. I think I just need to tweak a few strategies and I can help you. I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And he said, how about this? Give me 9 more sessions with me on me. Okay. Like now, yes, you have to drive far.
Sure.
I can't do anything about that.
Yeah.
But the next 9 sessions on me.
Yeah.
Just give me one final chance. Let's fix the strategy and let's see where we are then.
Mm.
I'm going to start that next week.
Okay.
One, he doesn't have to do that. I really don't think he has to do that.
Mm. Yeah.
Two, that shows me a lot. Mm-hmm. Of course, three, you know, he does want a happy customer. Sure, I get that. But again, I'm big on intent and I'm big on like, why are you doing this, right? And I could tell he's doing this to, yes, make a living and make money, but he's doing this because he loves it. Like he wants to help. Like one of the things he said, which initially struck me odd, he said, do you know, like before I sleep, I think about you.
How old is he?
That's a good doctor.
That's a title right there. How old is he? I don't know. I'm going to guess he's in his 30s. I was like, okay, you think about me before you say. No, he's like, honestly, like I think about, okay, Jonathan, when he comes, like I need to do this. Maybe we could do this to help him. I'm like, bro, that's how I think too. With my candidates, like, okay.
I think about you too, doctor. Yeah,
well, I do think about
you. I thought that's where it was going.
Yeah,
was
how, like, did you know? So that, you know, showed me a lot about his character and, like, again, his intent and just his energy.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
You appreciated that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah.
I could rock with that.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's the same
yeah.
energy I have. So I said, okay, doc.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, yeah.
9 more? Let's go. But I'm saying, I already told him he's my last stop. He was my last stop before I go to my actual doctor and my spinal surgeon and say, okay, cut me open.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't want to do that.
If you still have some options left before that.
I already went through a back surgery in 2008.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is not my...
Correct.
And 08 was my L5 S1, my lowest disc.
Okay. Ugh.
I did have surgery and that fixed it.
It did?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, okay. It worked.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, do I want another one on my L4 now?
Yeah.
Right,
like,
above
like
it?
If I keep doing it, like,
long term, what long is
term
that?
Is yeah. it gonna mess with the structure? I don't know, sure. of my back and so on and so forth. So anyway,
it's a very sensitive area. For like sure. your spine is like everything. You it know?
Affects everything
yeah.
else.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
The lower back affects everything else. Yeah. It holds you. It your nerves run down mm-hmm, there. Mm-hmm. It's your everything, dude. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. walk, sit, play, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So. I'm not saying don't do deadlifts, but
be just very be careful,
dude.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, there's no turning back because once you go through this, it's very difficult to deal with. You know what I mean?
It's very scary. Sure, so. It's a very scary thing. I try to stay away from like deadlifts. What's helped me in like, you know, whatever back pain or whatever is like doing a lot of yoga. Surprisingly, I've been doing a lot of yoga because that's what I can do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yoga's hard, man.
Yoga is so hard.
It's hella hard.
Yoga is like, so hard.
I can't do like half of those positions when they hold it.
I can't
like,
either.
Not honestly, even close. But yeah.
Luckily, like I just like do as much as I can. Yeah, and yeah, then yeah. you eventually get to position. You just keep going, right? Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. just like anything else.
Do you do it at home or is it like at a class or something?
Both.
Okay.
Me and my wife have done like hot yoga.
Nice.
That is a crazy, I couldn't last. I was like sweating through it. I was like 30 minutes in. I'm like, everyone's just like,
is and I'm like, is it like 98 degrees?
Yeah, it's like so that? Hot yeah. and it's so like difficult. I'm like in the middle of like about 30 minutes in, I'm like, I can't
yeah.
do this.
Yeah, anymore. Yeah.
So we tried without hot yoga, regular. That was a lot better. Yeah. And the rest I just like do like daily at home. Yeah. Like, yeah. through Apple Fitness or whatever.
That's cool.
But yeah.
It's
but
interesting you say that because I'm going to start yoga. Because at my gym, they have classes.
Yeah.
And nice. My wife actually suggested, why don't you just try it? Because some of the post-like workout that my chiropractor said to do is a lot of yoga poses.
Yeah.
But instead of doing it on a stable surface, yeah,
yeah,
there's this blue mat thing.
Mm.
Like it's like foam. Hard okay. foam. Mm-hmm. And he says, do it on there so that you can make your surface unstable. So what that does
is... You're engaging your core a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly. Yeah. It's helping strengthen some of your ligaments and maybe your core or your back muscles that support your spine.
Yeah.
Because right now, your ligaments and your it's weak.
Mm.
And I was thinking, I was like, you're right, because ever since the injury, like, I've been avoiding it. And so what I'm learning is, yes, you don't want pain. But you also don't want to avoid it, or you don't want to be sedentary.
Yeah.
You still want to work out your lower back.
Sure.
You still carefully.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You still want to strengthen your back, because if you don't, like, it's going to be worse off. You know what I mean? I was like, okay, that makes sense. So I'm going to try yoga. I'll tell you how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yoga.
I don't look like a yoga guy, but I'll try.
I mean, look at me. Do I look like a yoga guy? Like, shit.
I feel like you know? Anybody could do it, right?
Yeah.
We'll try it.
Yeah.
But Daniel, dude, don't you have... You got
some big news.
You got something exciting. It's the right transition. We're still working on our transition.
But I think that's natural. So...
This is water.
Yeah, this is water. Yesterday morning, I found out that I got into my grad program.
Hey, let's go, dude.
Which one?
At Santa Clara University.
Dude,
bro.
Dude, hey, congratulations. It's water.
Dude, we gotta really pop cheers for that, dog.
Nah, water's good for me.
Cheers. Let's go.
We have that Budweiser Chester Zero.
University. What program?
It's the...
Tell the everybody.
Yeah, so I got into the counseling psychology program.
Okay.
Good for you. The track is for... it's an MFT track, marriage and family therapist track.
Wow.
Okay. It'll be 3 years.
Yep.
And...
3 years? You said three?
Three, yeah. Wow. So it's a little bit longer than some other programs. A lot of programs are around 2 years, but... Yeah, Santa Clara is a really good program for
Santa Clara University is a prestigious university.
Yeah, yeah, and I wanted to go to a program in person. They have a lot of online programs.
Interesting. Okay.
And I guess it's okay. Like, I think it was just purely a preference thing. Like, I think in my mind personally, I was like, it seems kind of crazy to pay, I don't know, like $130,000 to go to classes online. not that, you know, just for me personally. Like, I want to be able to interact with professors in person and, like, other classmates and stuff like that.
Other people who do the classes, like, maybe are not able to go physically, like, for a job or something. So, it's all personal preference.
Oh, right? 100%. Yeah. But just for me, I was like, if I'm going to spend money for grad school, like, I want to get my money's worth. And part of what that means for me is just, like, getting to be there in person. Being on the campus. Dude. So, that was one of my criteria. And so, yeah, I'm just super excited for it. I went to Santa Clara for my master's program for education too. So I've already attended there and I really like the faculty in that.
Old stopping grounds.
Yeah. And so, I'm just excited to meet the professors and meet the other people in my cohort and stuff like that. So,
I think I've said this to you in person, like outside the podcast, but I don't think that I personally know anybody who's more suited and more emotionally intelligent and how you can hold yourself and conduct yourself and hold conversations and the depth you hold those conversations in is more suited to become a therapist essentially is what your goal is. Right. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to say that on the podcast, this guy is meant to be that for sure. Like, I don't know if you share that sentiment, but
you're following
your calling. Like
you're following your calling, dog. Like, and sometimes that road might seem longer than expected, but I don't have to tell you that. Like, it's very easy to say, man, dude, am I far behind? Like, why now? Like, like comparing yourself to maybe your peers or your friends, like they're already working and doing this and that. You're not ahead. You're not far behind. The good news is you found your it. Honestly. Like, from somebody who you guys just met each other maybe a year ago?
Yeah, not too long ago. We met each other a few years ago, but then, we reconnected in the last, year or so. So,
right?
So, someone who doesn't know you for a long period of time,
he says
feel it is something. Yeah.
No, I appreciate that a lot. Yeah. And knowing you too, I know you're not going to just blow smoke up my ass just because you know me. You know what I'm saying?
Don't need to do that.
But yeah, no, I think like, I was talking about it with my wife last week because, like, I think I knew that decisions were coming out soon, but I just didn't know exactly when. So I've just been in a place where I'm just, like, I'm just not feeling great. Like, when you're kind of in between.
The waiting period.
Yeah, and it's like, it's not just, like, a waiting period just because. Like, it's like, whatever the decision is will have an impact on the next few years of my life, which is a big deal. Right. And so like, yeah, I think I felt very, I was kind of spiraling a little bit. I was like, oh, like even if I get in, like, what if I get in and then I do it? And then I found out, oh, that's not what I thought it was or whatever.
Yep.
And I think I'm still like, working through this, but I'm trying to work through processing that and being okay with all the possibilities of what it could be. Cause, I think my mind naturally spins to like negative places. I'm like, oh, what if the shit doesn't work out? But there's also a world.
There's a lot of people like that.
Yeah, for sure. Most people, I would say. And like, it's just like a coping thing. Like I want to protect myself from disappointment or whatever, but like, yeah, I just, but like the other side is like, what if I like really, really love it and it's great. Like,
that might be a possibility.
That's a great mindset.
Because we always think the negative.
Oh, for sure.
But the
I never think about like, oh, like,
the flip side.
Because of all the multiverse and branches that could happen, if you really think about it, are you really saying like 99 of them are bad and one is only good?
Yeah.
No, we only think about the bad.
Exactly. Like it feels like for some reason the bad reality is more likely, but it's just but I can't know that. It's not like we already played it out.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I think, and what you said, you know, it's going to be something that you expect it to be. I can almost guarantee it will not be, right? More than likely, it's never what you expect.
Yeah.
But since you've been there, you have some basis of assumption, right? But I think that just knowing that, you know, what you said earlier is like, oh, you know, we'll just go with it and kind of see what happens. Yeah, that's a great mindset, man. Like, honestly.
Yeah. Because I think there's a big part of me that is trying to keep this mindset of like, there's only so much I can control and there's so much I can't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can control.
Yep.
or as much as I can influence, like I can have an influence on like how I'm processing.
Yep.
And like, I don't get to choose what happens, but mm-hmm. I get to choose how I navigate through what happens. And so yeah, I think I'm just, I don't know, like, I don't know if I have so many expectations, like, oh, I expect these laundry lists of 50 things to happen, but I have hopes for what I hope will happen.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think in general, like, I just feel thankful that I have an opportunity to go to school and do it. And I'm just trying to be thankful for that because I know, yeah, there's a lot of different, like, there's a lot of other versions that it could have been that didn't happen too. Like I could have not gotten in.
Yeah.
I could have, whatever else, right? Like, there's so many other bad things.
Stopped already.
Yeah. And it's weird because, like, I never think about those bad things happening because they didn't happen. Right. And so, yeah, I don't know. That's just something I've been thinking about in the past, like, few weeks too, is like, it's hard to kind of quiet those like thoughts and fears and stuff like that. But yeah, I think as I'm kind of preparing to go into school, because it starts soon. It starts in March.
Wow.
The turnaround's hella quick.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to, not just stay positive, but like do what I can to make the most of my experience.
Said it perfectly.
Yeah. So I'm excited for it.
Thankful for the opportunity, you said, because you have the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to you about this, like, to have that happen, a lot of things also have to go right.
Yeah.
If you think about it. So the fact
you're right.
You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So that's already in some, let's call it a miracle.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's already freaking awesome. So, you know what I mean?
Correct.
So, like, for example, like, shout out to your wife
mm-hmm.
to say, husband, go get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got you. Money, whatever, you know, we'll pay for it. This is your dream. This is your it. She knows that's your it. Correct. I know this is your it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so for you to have the courage to say, yeah, I'm going to invest my time and all that for this because I know this is who I am. And I know this is what I want to put on this earth, bro. That is the hardest decision to get to, I think. And you already got there. So all the like unknowns seemingly is probably more fearful. But I want to tell you that the unknown will always be there. It will always be there mm-hmm. when you're going to grad school, mm-hmm. when you have kids, mm-hmm. when you first got married,
mm-hmm.
when you whatever.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So then you then said, what I'm trying to do is then love or deal with the journey, the decision making, the process. That's life that you're figuring out.
For sure.
And I will say this is like, you found your main path, okay? Your main path is you're someone who's a deep thinker. You're someone who's very empathetic to people. You're someone who is more giving. I would consider you more of a giver.
Mm-hmm.
That's just your aura. That's your energy.
Mm-hmm.
You're a great listener. You're super curious. I'm not trying to fucking like, you know, like brown nose you right now. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you real talk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, this is who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Since I met you.
For sure.
At the pool tables.
Yeah, yeah.
You're someone who learns quick. You're someone who takes constructive criticisms well, which are all good and skills you need to be a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
If that's your calling, but the thing is, like, from your main road, there's going to be other branches.
Mm-hmm.
That's the unknown. You're like, do I go to grad school for this?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Do I do this in a corporate setting? Do I start a podcast and talk about it? I don't know. But all I do know is I think you believe your main road is clear. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, I think it's interesting. Like, I think the way I process it is like, I think one thing that I admire about both of you guys that you both have that is not a natural way for me to think is the way that you guys talk about the things that you're passionate about, not just in your careers, but with your families and things that are important to you. Like the verbiage is like kind of like these things like purpose or calling. And I think like that shows, like to me, I admire that because it's very, there's a lot of commitment, sacrifice, love and passion for the things that you do. And it's like a clear kind of lane. And in that lane, there are some like unknowns and deviations, obviously. But like in terms of what the general path is, like it's a very clear thing for you guys. And yeah, I admire that a lot. Because for me, I think slightly differently. I think for me, I don't know if I think about becoming a therapist as my calling, but I just see it as, like, just to put it really simply, like, it's just something I want to do.
That's okay.
And it's just something that I feel excited about, and it is in alignment with ways in which I want to contribute to the world and to other people. But yeah, like 10 years from now, who knows? Like to your point, like if it ended up being something else, whatever it was career-wise, like I would like to think in any circumstance, I would still be operating and acting in alignment with just the priorities as a person that I have. And being able to kind of flesh those out in whatever capacity that it ends up becoming. Because yeah, like if you asked me 6 years ago, like I was a teacher and I, you know, there's like pros and cons in that experience, but like I wanted to do the best that I could as a teacher. And I didn't know 5 years later that I'd be here, but I do feel like in a similar way, I'm doing my best to still, you know, move in that lane of my desire is to do well for myself and for others around me. And I think for me, as long as I am accomplishing that in some sort of avenue, then I feel, I guess that feels purposeful to me, or that feels maybe I wouldn't say calling, like that is how I want to live my life. And that's the way I want to continue to live my life.
That's all it is. That main road is your essence. Like it's not. And just clarify that the main role is not you being a therapist. That's a function. That's something. That's a vehicle, maybe a tool could be your best self. For example, me being a business owner of a staffing firm is a vehicle for me to exert or show my best self. That's most important. That's correct. The main road.
Correct.
So then if you look back, but then if you look back at 6 years ago when you made that decision to be a teacher, right? Let me ask you, I'm sure it was still similarly like scary. Like, what am I doing? Like,
100%.
Okay. But now 6 years later, let me ask you, that choice, did it fit in your essence of who you were? Did it add it to, you know what I mean?
It's interesting.
Pros, like, cons, experience.
When you, when you said, like, did it fit into who you were?
Yeah.
I think that's definitely true.
Okay.
Because I think there are times where, like, I think, like, oh, I regret doing that because, damn, like, I wish I started whatever earlier or did something else earlier to get on a different path. And to be honest, like, I still think that sometimes because I'm like, I could have had more money in my IRA and 401k and shit. But...
That's a whole nother side note. I think teachers are totally underpaid, but
100%.
I just want to say that.
But yeah, like I think, but at that time, that was the best decision I could have made for what I wanted at that time.
There you go.
What I thought I could do at the time, or the options I thought I had at that time.
There you go.
And so I think, like, when I look back on myself, I try to give myself the benefit of the doubt now too, is that even in 6 years, even if it doesn't work out, I'm only working with what I have right now and what is occurring to me right now, and to make the best decision that I can right now. I'm not my future self, so I can't know the things that it could have been, good or bad. And so yeah, I think that's true. Like, I think in that sense, I don't regret my decision to teach back then, because I'm like, I don't think I could have made another choice given who I was at that time. And so, like you said, I think that's just life though. Like, yeah, just for the pros and cons, living and accepting both of them. Cause yeah, there definitely were, or to me, like there definitely were cons in choosing the career path that I did. And there are a lot of pros too. And I think like, I don't get to change how they ended up, but I can continue to process, kind of process those things in a way that's more productive for me now.
I think it's very interesting, this conversation, because what you said made me think a lot about, like, you said that me and John think very similar in like lanes, mm-hmm. and like purpose and calling. Mm-hmm. And I think to go further than in that, you know, aspect of thinking is, I think it also aligns with our values, right? Like, mm-hmm. how we operate as people in our various roles that we have. It could be like the whole reason why we started this podcast, because it's to share different perspectives in being a husband, a leader, a entrepreneur, a now going to grad school student, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that you more align with that line of thought, where it's not purpose driven, but value driven, to where this is who I am as a person. Mm-hmm. I need to fulfill that.
Totally. I think that's definitely true for me too. I like the way you put that. Cause, I think that kind of encapsulates all of us. Mm-hmm. Even though maybe the way we go about things or how we personally process certain things is slightly different, I do think that's true though. Cause like, yeah, like, for the values that I have right now, not just for myself and for my family, but just how I want to benefit others and have positive impacts on other people and have a little ripple effect there. Like, I do think that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, right? Because if that weren't a value to me, I'd probably be doing something else.
Like, what are the words that come to mind just to make it like clear?
Yeah, you know? In terms of some of those values?
Yeah.
I think like... That's a good question. I value...
Sorry to put you on the spot here. No, give me the words.
No, like it's something know? That I think about often. Uh-huh. It's just like, I think there are a lot of them, and I try to think about like which ones... I don't know if you guys feel this way, but like, have you ever had a situation where you thought something was a value, but it was actually something else? So for example, like, I don't know, like you might say like, oh, I value hard work or some shit, but like, maybe it's like, oh, I actually just like wanted to be approved by others by being good at something or something. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so like, I think that's why I struggle with value sometimes. Cause I'm like, I think I know, but like, maybe I don't, but anyways,
but you can relate to something right now.
Correct.
Just in the same way you had those similar values when you were a teacher, but something may have changed, you know?
Correct.
Yeah. In the same kind of vein. Right.
I like seeing other people thrive. And I value other people becoming healthier.
Mm. Wow. Okay. Mentally and physically.
Everything.
Just blossoming.
That word health, like, besides the fact that I turned 30 and like I started thinking about like,
you know, that I can't really, yeah, I know, getting I old out here.
I can't recover from my hangover, you know what I'm saying? Like,
not at all.
I think that word health, like my grandma would always say that to me when I was a kid, and I was like, all right, whatever. She always say like, oh, like health is number one.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, okay, sure, whatever. And I think the older I get, the more I understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe she didn't mean it in this way, but I think for me, how I process that, it's like an everything. And I use the word healthier instead of better because I think when someone says, oh, like, a value of mine is to be better.
Mm.
I think that can kind of be construed in a certain way sometimes that maybe not be so healthy necessarily.
There's a, sorry to.
No, no, you're good.
Interrupt you. It's like when I think better, I think then comparison. There's a contrast to something else.
And maybe, like,
you know,
and
is that how you meant it?
Like, whatever.
No, no, I'm just saying, you know what I mean? that word can mean different things to different people. Oh, okay. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And for some people, it can mean healthy things. Like, a healthier version of myself can be a better version, which is good.
Okay.
But then some people could mean like, oh, like if I like make more sales this month, then I'm better. But if it's at the sacrifice of like other things, like you're like eating bad, yeah. you're like, you know, kind of like taking it out on your family.
Those
like,
are really better.
Is that,
I have definitely been there.
Yeah. And that's a tough spot, but like, that the justification is that I'm better, but is that like a healthier version of your life? And I think for me, like, that's why I use the word healthy is because, like if we're trying to get our bodies healthy, there's no like interpretation of what healthier means. It's just a matter of where we are on the health spectrum. Like, are we getting healthier than we were before?
Right.
And I think that's what I care about for myself and for others is like,
that's amazing.
Like, I don't know, like to me, to be honest, like, I don't know what would result in a more meaningful or like, really like full life except to become as healthy as we can and the things that we can. Yeah.
So good. So very recently, this is good stuff, Daniel. Do you guys know who, Gabor Mate is?
Nope.
I've heard of the name. I've heard of the name.
Who are they?
Maybe a him. I just got introduced to him maybe about a year ago. He's on different podcasts and so on and so forth. But the latest one, he was on Theo Von's podcast, which I thought was like yin and yang. Like, I love Theo, though. He has some great guests and he's hilarious. But he's a, I believe he's a Canadian physician, but also thinker. And he focuses on addiction.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about. I know
and
his
child
face.
Development.
Yeah. His
long gray hair and kind of stunt.
He has like a deep voice, kind of like,
yeah. Anyways, what I think about when you say all this, is you say value. To me, value is also your belief systems.
Yes.
We're all trying to build our belief systems. Mm-hmm. And then while I'm thinking about Gabor Mate, he talked about, because Theo asked him, and this is something I struggle with, is he was like, yeah, do you ever feel like sometimes like you're doing this and all your success and that you don't deserve it? You're not good enough that, you know, like I'm faking it, like the feeling that you're faking this,
like imposter syndrome.
So Gabor said that's imposter syndrome. He's like, well yes, okay, cool, imposter syndrome. And I think Theo was like, why do I feel this way, like why do I feel like I'm and then Gabor said it's not a feel, it's a belief, first of all. Okay. So let me just make sure you understand that a feel is emotion, something you maybe can't control. We all feel a certain way, angry, sad, whatever. But you feel that you're fake. It's not a feel. It's you believed you're fake. And beliefs are something you could change. We could all change it. We could all try to find our belief system. So the first thing is you have to understand it's in your control to change that. It's not out of your control, right? Number one. And number two, and this could be a conversation for another time, but he actually said imposter syndrome is deeply rooted to sometimes, many times, how you grew up. Like if you grew up in a broken home, or like if you grew up in a household where love is attached to accomplishments. Like, yeah, I know. that
sounds very familiar.
You more if you get straight A's or whatever it is.
And it's hard because like it's not even that it would be in those words, like
but
it would be like you get a little more attention, or you get to go out to dinner with parents, or like they might not say that, hey, I love you now, but it's
indirect,
like,
or
they give you more attention, more whatever, right?
Yeah,
even like getting a gift if you get straight A's, whatever, right? Like as something as like
that merit system.
Yeah.
That again, side note is it, I believe there should be some sort of reward merit system with you know with
the carrot versus stick,
like you know when but then there's a fine line to that too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But anyways,
So
I thought that was really interesting how like because of that you almost have to like have this acting or facade about yourself all the time around your family. Like,
yeah.
And then when you finally achieve it, you achieve that grade or whatever, mm-hmm. or you achieve that, you got into the school you want, like,
yeah.
How you got there and how your loved ones or whoever, your friends, whatever, made you feel, you almost feel like, damn, I don't deserve this.
Mm.
Because I think in the core, you didn't do it for yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Then mm-hmm. that's why you feel the imposter syndrome. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it's not. So then to your point, like, you at least, you're doing this for you. So yeah. Sure, you're going to spend money and you're like, oh man, I could have made more money and all that. And comparison, this and that.
Yeah.
And imposter syndrome maybe. Yeah, or, maybe I should have done this or I should have went this route. Man, nah, you doing Daniel. So then if you're doing Daniel as a friend, mm-hmm. I got you, man. Mm-hmm. I'll support you. Support any decision, any unknown.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's figure it out.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's cool. But just know it's in your control, though. It's not out of your control. You talk about controlling mm-hmm. what's in your control. You know, part of that, I think, and also part of that finding yourself is, like I say this all the time, it's the self-reflection, the talking to mm-hmm. yourself in the mirror saying, why am I doing this? Like, is it really for me? Mm. Or is it for another reason?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, is it because I have the pressure that I got to make more money?
Yeah.
That's why I went to grad school?
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest with you, if that's what it is, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But if you tell me, nah, I'm going to grad school because I feel this experience is going to be part of my essence or my belief systems or what I want to leave on this earth, whatever you want to call it, purpose, whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Cool. But the thing is, what gives me clues that I feel like it fits in where you are with your life is, you just said, part of the decision why I went to grad school is I want to feel the whole experience. I want to go in and talk to the professors. Oh, there's a lot of value in that.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? Versus I'm going to do this at home online, you know?
Yeah.
Like you're absorbing the experience and all that. All that factors into this whole story you're going to tell, you know?
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
I totally agree with what you said. Like, I think this has only changed for me in the last few years, like in my late 20s, like going into my early 30s now. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think I am growing in my awareness of what I want and not what other people want for me.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
It's amazing. Or maybe not just an awareness. I think it's both an awareness and like prioritizing. Yes. What I want to do versus what other people want to do.
For sure.
Or like maybe like being able to see both of those and then like make a choice. Maybe there are times where I choose, like for example, like if it's with me and my wife, like we're making decisions about life together. It wouldn't be good for me to always choose what I want to do and she has to follow everything I want. But as we're working through things, if I can see them and I have a choice to engage in it and we can make a decision together, whatever that means, at least I'm aware that I have that choice and I am agreeing to go a certain way about it. And I think there's something about that agency that has made a big difference in my life in the past, just like a couple years for me, to be honest.
That's amazing, dude.
Yeah.
We all go through it.
I felt that same way. I would say around your age too.
Yeah.
Like maybe I think you're doing it a lot earlier in life than I did. I feel like in my 20s, I was just fucking around. you know what I mean?
Same.
Like, you know, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't thinking about what we're thinking about right now. And I think part of that becomes, the people around you, you kind of feel like, oh, I'm kind of feel like, you know, behind or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The second part of that is once you go down that road, I think you start to learn, like, you know, you try different things out. Like, okay, I'm going to do things for money, but then it doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then you figure out like, no, what do I want to do? Like, what do I really want to do? And I think that discovery is kind of similar to what you're going through right now, but that's kind of what I've been through as well. And I think what you're saying that everybody kind of goes through that. Right. Yeah. But what I'm saying to you is like, I'm glad that it's happening for you at this point in life because it's a lot earlier in life in comparison. you know, not to compare, but just to, you know, just to say, like, you know, like, it's lucky that you're going through this now versus later in life is all I'm saying. You know what I mean?
That is true. I definitely don't take that for granted. Mm-hmm. At least just in this way, at least in that, like, we're talking about like bad versions of realities. Like, there is a reality where, like, maybe I didn't think about any of this shit and I'm just like doing things just because, or just because I don't feel like I'm successful enough and I end up doing a different career. Mm. And I wake up when I'm 50 and I'm like, oh shit, like I wasted the last 20 years of my life just doing whatever, ignoring my family, ignoring my kids, just comparing myself to my friends or whatever. Like, I think about that often, and I don't want that to be me in 20, 30 years, that I have this thought of like, I should have lived my life differently. Even if the results maybe aren't the best version of what it could have been, at least I could say I tried to make the best choices that I could at those times, and the results I can live with. And I think if that's what it is, great it is in results or not, like I would feel good about that.
I mean, it comes down to your mortality in a sense, right?
Not yeah, for sure.
Like, once I'm gone, like, or right before I'm gone, like, what's gonna go through your mind, your like that reel that you play that you talk about very often is like, is it good? Is it bad? Do I feel good about it? Do I not feel good about it? Mm. You know,
or do I regret?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like. You know. How many times have we heard our grandparents, or, you know, in shows and movies that we've seen, like, oh, I wish I would have done this, mm-hmm. like, make sure you do that, you know? And I think that's the great choice that we have now, is that depth in thinking about it now, so we can do something about it.
Yeah.
And maybe, I mean, I don't know. This is something that me and my brother talk about a lot. And, you know, now that we talk about it a lot as well, is what is the difference between this generation and the previous generation, and how they operate versus how we operate? Like, you know, there's a lot of messed up things between the age gap and the generational gap. But how do we operate with our kids going forward? You know, that's something that you can relate to, mm-hmm. right? Like, what do you want to instill in that, like,
yeah,
you know, it's,
that's a good question,
because you think about how you operate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First and foremost, right. I operate like this. Therefore I want my son or daughter to also instill that to them too.
Sure.
Right.
It's sure. natural.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
but there was a cost to it.
There's a huge cost.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's also a realization, like, you know, my parents were in a different situation too, when they raised me, you know what I mean? Are we good on time?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually think maybe it would be good to record about an hour 15.
Yeah.
Because if we cut anything out,
yeah.
it might end up being around that 45 to hour mark. Anyway, perfect. Depending on how much.
So we got
cut.
About 15.
Yeah. 15, okay. 20 minutes. Yeah.
So this is great, by the way.
This is great.
I could go off in so many different tangents, but, but relating to, first of all, I want to make a comment about like getting older and all that. Like, you guys see enough, like, you know, social media or posts, or have you ever seen a post where an old dude in his 80s or whatever, 70, 80s, wish he made more money? Or do you see more posts about like, man, if I could do it all over again, I would have spent more time with my family?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, for reals.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't chase your paper, dude. Like, go chase that paper. Hell yeah. Like, there's a value in hustling and, you know, getting wealth and all that good stuff. But I always say this, is like, there's so many ways to make money and whatever. And I'm not saying, you know, like,
don't
go chasing
that.
It and, yeah. and like hustle and all that is bad. Okay, if that's what you feel, that's your essence, or who you want to be and what you want to portray,
mm-hmm.
then be that. You know, be that, because that's who you are, right?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, man, if you do that because of pressures of others, or comparing yourself to others, or saying, "Damn, that guy's an influencer too and making millions. I want to be that." You know, you're going to be disappointed, man. Before you look at yourself in the mirror saying, am I cut out for this? Yeah. Like, do I have the right personality and, like, you know, grit as that guy, as Mr. Beast? Oh, man, it's so easy. No, it's not. He had to sacrifice a lot of things, I know, be who he is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
100.
I mean, just the low-hanging fruit is, like, a lot of actors say, man, if I could like, just be a normal human being. You know, they got wealth, they got cars, they got
Keanu Reeves.
They can't.
Yeah,
they can't get around.
Right, you know that. You know
they don't have privacy.
Yeah,
they don't have privacy. That's a valuable commodity.
You can't just go to a restaurant with your homies.
You can't do that.
Privacy.
They can't
experience
that. No, you can't go to In-N-Out and just have a burger on the table and just
So then
that sucks, man.
That sucks. Like, so you can look at them and go, oh man, I wish. Yeah. It's so easy. I would trade places with him. Would you?
Yeah.
Would you? Okay, well, if you are okay with that and that's who you want to be, and
then go get it.
Then go get it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you got to have a conversation with yourself first before you chase that, you know?
Yeah.
But kids too. Kids, like, my parents, you know, raised me, you know, immigrated here. So they were fighting a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I'm trying
situation.
To.
Huge. Completely.
Yeah, completely different. And so I'm trying to ensure that I don't, like, there are some values and traditions that my parents taught me that I do want to give to my daughter.
Yep.
But then I also am trying to figure out how I could be a father in my way to her in this age. For example, one of the things, I've said this to so many people, is one of the key things I'm trying to do as she's young is, with this age of automation and AI and fake news and fake this and that, is, like, I'm trying to teach her to think on her own.
Critical,
like, before you look at that post and say, yes, that's real or that's facts. No. You got to have some sort of mechanism in your head to double check.
To
critically think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that really real?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's going to be the tough part, I think, of this generation.
That's true, because we didn't have to deal with that.
Zero.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I come home.
Like, that version for us was like chainmail emails, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Chainmail from a prince in, you know, freaking Cameroon or something.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
That reminds me of, like, I remember the quick little side story is, I remember camping and we got this little notification. It's like, Kevin Durant is coming to the Warriors. You're like, this is bullshit. Is that real?
we're like, we're questioning that.
Yeah. We're like, oh shit. Then we looked at, I kept looking at it. And I was like, oh shit, we got Kevin Durant, dude.
But it was ESPN.
Yeah. Like, but you know how there's, like, fake it's ESPN accounts.
It's like the fake
Pharrells,
like,
with the extra R's, yeah, you know? Yeah, like, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? No. Like,
it's
but,
true.
But yeah, we don't, we started on the tail end of the fake stuff, but she's going to live in it. Yeah.
She's totally in it. Like, she's not used to coming home and turning on Channel News and watching Dennis Richmond. Like, that was my guy. And whatever he said about the news, we're like, yeah.
It's
the
facts.
Guy with the mustache, like, that's the truth, bro. Like, I didn't even question Dennis Richmond and whatever her name is, Julie Hayner.
Yeah, seemed like a nice guy.
Super nice guy.
Yeah.
I hope
he didn't do any weird
stuff.
His
voice was you know, deep. Like, welcome to Channel 2 News. My name's Dennis Richmond. Or whatever he said. But you think about it. Like, you can't even question.
Yeah.
Now it's like, what's your source? Like, are you sure? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Where are you getting your influences
from?
Getting,
it's a different world, dude.
Yeah.
Actually, that's true. It's like, I think a lot of times I think, like, oh, things for newer generations are so much easier, which I think is true in a lot of senses. But I think there's a lot of things that are a lot harder that just... I just did an experience, so it, like, doesn't even occur to me like how that shapes your brain. Because, like, sometimes I wonder, like, you know, like, computer, like, troubleshooting, right? In my mind, I'm like, yo, like, this, you know, let's say, like, they're Gen Xers, like, they're 50-60, and, like, how the fuck do you not know how to just turn off the Wi-Fi and turn it on again? Like, that's insane to me. Like, what are you talking about? And I'm not saying they're all like that, but, like, they're out there, you know what I mean?
A lot of them are out there.
Okay. Yeah.
And like sometimes I think, so, oh, like I'm not gonna be like that when I'm their age. But like honestly, like it probably just doesn't occur to me. Like whatever that thing is gonna be, you know, like I'm like I'll probably be like that too. And like
I already
no, dude, I feel like because I was about to say like you know this whole AI situation, like using I have to. And I don't say I'm gonna force myself to use it, but I like I have to think about using it.
It's not automatic. Like, it's for not you to
automatic.
Go,
yeah, it's automatic for me. It's automatic in the sense of like going to Google.
Yeah.
Right.
We go to
like,
Google.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know, now that you use it more often, like it's getting more automatic, right?
True.
As more you learn it, but yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like I have those moments, that Wi-Fi moment.
You're like
right now,
dude.
You know, like because technology is like getting so quick, so fast. You know what I mean? Like it's I think it's like exponentially growing, you know, and it's kind of hard to keep up.
For
and speaking on that point of like, you know, those Gen Xers, like there's, I feel like the hard and easy part of it, they had something easier that we have something harder.
Correct,
right.
Correct.
But it's
like they bought houses for $50,000.
Yeah. Like, bro, dude, how many conversations were like, we should move to freaking Texas. You know, like how many conversations,
yeah.
You know, wife that, you know, but yeah, we're not going anywhere.
Base home, dude.
But yeah, man, I think it's like every generation has that easy, hard. And I think it's up to us to, in our generation, in our times, in our troubleshooting ways to, you know, learn the hard and, you know, embrace the easy, however you want to word that, you know. But I think, again, it's a, every generation has their hard, you know,
I agree.
So to speak. You know?
Yeah. And, and I feel like that makes me want to, like... maybe it's just like a attitude of like continually wanting to learn. Cause like there are like older people, Gen Xers that are like, it's not that they know everything, but they're in a position of like, I'm open to learning more.
That's a mindset.
And then there's some people with the mindset of like, oh, like that's stupid because I don't feel like learning it. You know what I mean?
That's judgmental.
Like, they dismiss mindset. It because they're like, oh, like,
yeah.
Maybe it makes them feel like insecure that they don't know it, or like, you know what I mean? Like
it's the difference between a growth and fixed mindset, you know?
Correct. Yeah. And I feel like I hope to continue to have that even as I get older. And
me too, man.
I see shit that pops up that I don't understand. Like
me too, man. All right. So, man, I think this is a great episode. I would like to say thank you for doing episode 4. We made it to 4.
Yeah, we made it to 4. And thank you to everybody who listens. And
we hope
just,
this helps.
Just like messes with what we do. Yeah. And yeah.
Hopefully we have better thumbnails next time.
This guy. Are you going to keep this in? Dude, come on, man. My guy worked hard on it, dog. My guy worked hard on it, dog. We got to cut this. All right, maybe we'll keep this in. Listen, I'm going to figure out how to make thumbnails. You're talking about learning. I'll figure it out.
No, that's the beauty of this. We're all learning through
this. I got Canva and Photoshop. I'll figure it out.
If you guys have questions for us, make sure to comment below on our social media, on YouTube, wherever you see this. Leave us a review on any podcast platform that you see. Yeah, man. Thanks for listening.
Yes, sir. Later. Thanks.